Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church. Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania. We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us. Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Morning. Welcome to our service this morning. I just realized I was doing double duty without my family. I invite you to turn to number 55 in the binder, the blue folder, number 55, My Life Flows On. Beautiful song to remind us of how much singing is part of our Christian walk. I invite you to stand together as we sing, number 55. We'll do the third verse a cappella, just to let you know ahead of time. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
I was talking to one of my coworkers this past week, and he told me, you never pray and ask God for patience, because he's always going to test you after you do. So it got me thinking of this verse in James 5, verses 7 through 9. It says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. I thought that was pretty, kind of tied in with like how we finished up talking about Revelations last week and the second coming. And I thought patience is always one of those things that we can always practice. It's something that is difficult for a lot of people, and me in particular. So I think it's something that's always good just to try and remember to be patient, because you never know when the second coming. Please come forward. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this morning and for this day, God. And I thank you that we could all come here and worship you, God. And I thank you for the promise of your second coming, God. And I pray that all of us here, we will just learn how to be patient and to just learn to give patience to not just about the second coming, but in all aspects of our lives, to be patient with others and with people that we interact with on our daily lives. And I just thank you for this morning, God, and I pray that you would bless this offering in the hands that gave it. Amen.
Thank you. I didn't think I was breathing that hard just walking up to the front. Thank you to the worship team and Doug for those songs that you picked. They fit right in with what I want to share this morning, and I didn't give them any heads up on what I was sharing about, and I only told Wendy Friday night what's put in the bulletin. So thank you very much for your songs this morning, and a special welcome to all visitors. It's good to see all of you this morning. So if you take your Bible and open it to 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 1. So I have the daunting task of following up a 3 or 4 year preaching through the Bible series with coming up with something on your own. I'm not sure what's going on here. I'll tighten it up. Yeah, that's fine. If it don't work, we'll go to the other mic. Thanks, Calvin. So, since I had to come up with it on my own, I used the theme verse and based it off of that. So, 2 Peter 1, 1 to 8. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace to yours in abundance through the knowledge in God of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. To self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to do something a little different this morning, and have you each take 2 minutes and look at the verse on your own, and then after those 2 minutes, you're going to kind of share with the pew that you're sitting in for another 2 or 3 minutes. And then, I didn't give Kevin a heads up, but we're going to pass the mic a little bit and have 4 people or so share from their group what they learned before I tell you what I think I learned from this passage. So, we'll take 2 minutes, so till 10:30 on the clock in the back, which none of you can see but me, so I'll tell you when the 2 minutes is up. And then you'll share with your group, and then I'll ask for 4 hands or so to go up and share what you learned. All right, now if you turn to the people in your pew for the next 2 or 3 minutes and talk about what each of you learned from that brief passage that we read. Finish up. And I'll ask for a couple of volunteers to share. Daniel, bring the mic. All right, how about a couple of volunteers that would want to share brief, 30-second or less synopsis of what you learned from your group? If nobody puts their hands up, I'm going to pick on people. There's one.
We were talking about how, you know, his divine power has given us everything we need in life. And we also have a job to do, you know, to add to these things. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
This pew is really eager. We have 2 hands in the same pew.
There's a lot in there. I was telling Darlene and Steve, this will be for those who have been going to Spruce Lake camping for many, many, many years. And remember the old zip line, the big hill out in Wilderness Camp. When I was a facilitator of that, we used these verses a lot, verse 3, as kind of a wrap-up for the group. That God gives us everything we need for life and godliness the zip line had the cable, which held thousands of pounds. You had the harness, the cable, helmet, everything you needed. You still had a big step to take off that platform. It still took faith. God gives us everything we need. We still need to trust Him with what He's given us and take those faith steps into His life. You
know? As you said, this is a very dynamic pew, apparently. Because I did not get a chance to share because there was so much sharing going on. I guess that's what happens when you put two teachers and Steve in the same pew. But, okay, so the thing that leapt out at me was the, what I, like, what to me seems like it's kind of the whole goal of the thing, participate in the divine nature. All of the rest of it is kind of like the, seems to me, the how you do it. But the thing, the goal, is participation in the divine nature. That is something that's offered to us as Christians, as believers, that no other religion can even begin to offer. They have like how to get there, how to glimpse it, how to become, you know, spectators to it. But we're enjoined, we're encouraged, we're given the means to participate in the divine nature. We almost have the ability through that to become, not to overstate this particular part of it, but to become divine. To participate in that nature. That's what I saw.
How about one more volunteer? Thanks, Mom.
To build on what Steve said, we also said if you do one thing, it kind of leads you to the next thing, which leads you to the next thing, and it kind of snowballs and you just keeps getting better and better.
Excellent. Thank you all for indulging me and sharing what you think it means to you before I share with you what I think it means to me. But before I start, I want to share a story with you. I found it on the internet this week while I was doing some preparation. It hopefully is not the case for any of our three pastors or Steve as we give sermons. There was an elderly pastor who was searching his closet for a tie, which none of us do that. So, Steve's got a tie on, but the rest of us wouldn't search for a tie. But in the back of the closet, he found a small box containing 3 eggs and 100 $1 bills. He called his wife into the closet to ask her about the box and its contents. Embarrassed, she admitted having hidden the box for the entire 30 years of their marriage. Disappointed and hurt, the pastor asked her, why? The wife replied that she hadn't wanted to hurt his feelings. He asked how the box could have hurt his feelings. She said that every time during their marriage that he delivered a poor sermon, she placed an egg in the box. Well, the pastor felt, 3 eggs in 30 years, that's not bad. So he asked what the $100 was for. She told him, each time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them to the neighbor for $1. So I'm going to go home and check the back of the closet and see if there's an egg. So anyway, back to 2 Peter. And with verse 3, that's where I want to start. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. We have everything that we need at our disposal for a godly life. Not that it's going to be easy or without trials and struggles. It doesn't say that. It says that we have what we need. And that made me think, well, what are the things that we need? And there could be lots and lots and lots of things, but I picked 3. And this will not work, so we'll press the button. Tools for a godly life. You have the promised holy scriptures. And this would have worked if I would have put the thing in. The promised Holy Spirit, Acts 2:18, even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in these days pour forth of my Spirit and they shall prophesy. And we have the Holy Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And we have the power of prayer, Matthew 21:22, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Not to understate any other things that we have at our disposal, but it felt like, to me, these are maybe, for me especially, these are the top three. The three things that I always go back to. We have the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God, and the power of prayer. Not in any particular order, those are just the three for me that felt most important. But to unlock these things, we need to have a knowledge of Him who called us. To me, that means we need to be in a right relationship with our Creator. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be in right relationship with Him? That we spend time with Him, get to know Him, the same way that you'd spend time with your spouse or your children or your father. We need to spend time with Him. And not that we beat ourselves up when we get busy or we forget or we, whatever other excuse we give for not doing it, but that we continually strive for a better relationship with our Heavenly Father. It wasn't perfect. It's not perfect with me and my kids. I'm sure it wasn't perfect for you and your kids or your father. But you're always striving for a better relationship. And I feel like if we don't, we could miss out on some of those things that God has for us. If we're not spending time with Him, if we're not listening for His voice, if we're not listening for it, we might miss it. And this might look different for each individual person, and that's okay. Everybody's relationships with their fathers, with their children, they look different. So to me, it doesn't matter that it looks different, just that relationship between you and God is good. And then in verse 4, through these He has given us His great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. I'm kind of with Steve on this, that I feels like this is the most important part of this part of the Scripture. Christ has given us repentance, faith, justification, and eternal life. And more importantly, we are given the power to become sons and daughters of the King of the universe. I don't think we can overstate that enough and how awesome a promise that is, that you and I, God wants to be our Father. God wants us to be children of Him. Romans 8:17 says we are co-heirs with Christ. Also says both in His sufferings and His glory. There again, not that it's going to be easy, not that it's always easy to be a son or a daughter or a parent, but we have that awesome, awesome promise to be a son or a daughter of the King. So what does it mean to be partakers or participants of the divine nature? I had to stop and think, like, so what is, it says that, but what does that mean to me? And I was doing some research into it, and from the Expositor's Bible Commentary, it says this, which really kind of transformed a little bit how I think that our life's journey is going to, how our life's journey is. It said, the way is open to all, nor will the glory pass away from those who have been blessed with it. For now we all, with unveiled face, reflect as a mirror the glory of God. I read that again. For now we all, with unveiled face, reflect as a mirror the glory of God, and with progress in holiness are transformed into the same image as from the Lord the Spirit. Thus, men become, for it is a gradual process, partakers of the divine nature, and being drawn more near to God while they live here, are fitted through His mercy when the last call comes, to go up higher and sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this part really kind of changed a little bit the way I think. Their life having been a constant putting on of the wedding garment. Never quite thought of it that way before, that, you know, our entire life, yeah, the culmination is this wedding feast with the Lamb, but, you know, our life is a constant putting on of the wedding garment. And as that kind of sank in, it was just a really awesome word picture of, you know, our Christian lives aren't always easy. Sometimes it feels like we're three or four steps front, and then, oh, we go back a little bit. And then we go a little bit farther, and then, oh, we fall back again. But God's using that to get us ready to be the bride for Christ. There's also a hope of escaping the corruption of this world due to the divine nature. It's a victory that we cannot claim without the divine nature. It kind of made me think that our flesh is weak, but our God is bigger. Our God is bigger than school shootings. Our God is bigger than all these things that are going on in the world. Not that we shouldn't try to do something about them, but at the end of the day, God is bigger than all that. We have to make sure that our focus is completely on Him and striving to grow in our devotion and relationship with Him. Kind of made me think of a newborn learning to walk. First, they just kind of lay on the floor. Newborns just lay there. And they can roll over, and then they kind of do the army crawl thing, pull yourself around on your belly. Then you take a few shaky steps front, and you fall down. And another couple steps and fall down, and another couple steps and fall down. Get bruises along the way. We still have a toddler and Ellie who's not walking yet, and it's just amazing to see how they progress through learning to walk. And then at some point you learn how to run, like full speed ahead. And so that kind of, for me, worked in thinking about how this, our life as a journey, you know, we kind of start when we kind of accept God, you know, and then we're kind of doing the army crawl thing where we're getting better. And then by that end, by that culmination, when we have the wedding garment on, we're able to run. We also need to make sure that we're not too hard on ourselves when we're going through that. It's just like the newborn. You're going to fall sometimes. We're going to get bruises along the way and take some lumps. But this is all God's plan in getting us to where He wants us to be on that final day. Our journey on this earth is so that God can mold us and shape us into the person that He wants us to be. For some, including myself, it takes a long time. For others, it can be quick. For some, it takes a dramatic change. You have Paul in the New Testament, took a dramatic change. For some, yeah, it's still dramatic when you think about, yeah, you're following Jesus now, but it's not this big dramatic thing that everybody can see, like a prison convert accepting Christ or drug addicts accepting Christ. But for each one of us, it's different, and it's still awesome nonetheless. It's not that, oh, you're worse because you didn't have this dramatic experience, or, oh, I'm better because I didn't have that. You can also think of it as like the potter and the clay. The only pottery I ever did was, I think, in seventh grade, so I'm no expert on clay pottery making of any sort, but from what I remember from seventh grade, you start with this lump of brown clay, kind of gooey, and makes your hands all gooey, and then if you don't wash it off soon enough, you kind of get this thing where you can't hardly move your fingers because the clay is kind of set. Kind of like if you leave Play-Doh out for a long time, it kind of gets hard and you can't move it. Then you start molding it and forming it, and you make changes little by little. You don't try to like pull the whole pot in like 3 seconds and okay, we're done. It's this gradual change. And for me anyways, there was many times that I had to take my pot, which I thought was going good, and just put it back into a lump and try again. Don't think that you ever throw clay away and say, oh, this clay is not good. It's bad. God's going to continuously keep working at us, keep molding us into the beautiful vessel that He wants us to be. And it's just an awesome thing to think about, you being shaped and molded by our Creator. And then the journey culminates when we reach heaven, that final day, we've gone through the life, we were putting on the wedding garment. Life was hard for a lot of us. You know, life isn't easy. It was a rough 70, 60, 80 years of learning and learning and learning and learning. But in the end, we're all hoping to hear from Matthew 25:23, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And I can't even comprehend what that's going to, like, what is the joy of the Lord while you're standing there in heaven? What is that like? Our imagination's an incredible thing, but I don't know that I can even quite fathom what that's going to look like. And then I had to think of, you know, Billy Graham this week. Maybe he died last week, but either way, anytime you heard Billy Graham, this verse went with it. "Well done, good and faithful servant." So Billy Graham, for those of you who may not be as familiar, as some of you, he's just an old dude that talked to lots of people. He was ordained in 1939, and in 1950 he created the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, which if you listen to Christian radio, they still have things with Franklin Graham, who's his son, and stuff like that. And the best guess was he preached to 250 million people in 185 countries. There again, I can't quite envision what 250 million people feels like, but that's okay. And we're going to hopefully have a short clip here of Mr. Billy Graham. Nope, video can't be loaded. Awesome. Okay, so we won't. So I had to try to use a new computer software, which is not working like it should have. So you can go home and YouTube Billy Graham and watch one if you want. And then I also had to think about the school shooting in Florida. Just the uncertainty that can come with each day that we are alive on the earth. You don't know when we wake up what the day is going to hold. So just to remind us that, you know, every day we need to be striving for a better relationship with Christ. And it's never too late, if you've gone off the path, to come back on and strive to know Him more. And then verse 5 to 8, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We must always be looking to add knowledge and acquaintance with the whole truth and will of God. And it says, "If the stated qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you useful and fruitful in the knowledge of Christ." And you and I both know that the world needs useful Christians today as much as any day in the history of the world. Not that I'm not trying to say that today's worse than some other time or anything like that. I mean, we can just see that the need for Christians that are following this set of things that are laid out here so that you can be effective and productive. We can be a people that can help to change the world. Not that one of us will probably preach to 250 million people, but there's people that you run into every day, your coworkers, the clerk at Turkey Hill, you name it, the person driving ahead of you on the road. Perhaps in a small way, with the people we interact with, we can make a big difference. And some of us, some of you, maybe in a big way, depending on what God has in store for you. I'm pretty sure Billy Graham in the 30s didn't think that he was going to preach to 250 million people when he started. But that was what God had for him. But we have to be willing to step out and be different and you know, do we treat the clerk at Turkey Hill different than the person in front of us did? Do we, or do we act the same as everybody else? Something that I do when I go into Turkey Hills or the grocery store, and they ask you how your day's going, you know, if you listen, everybody says good, 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 good. When they ask me, I try to say outstanding or something of the nature just to kind of throw them off a little bit, and it gets a smile on their face, they're like, oh, outstanding. But when you stop and think about the life that you have compared to, you know, other people in the world, I think our lives are outstanding. Not that they're always easy or good. I mean, we can be having a bad day. I'm not saying that you're not sometimes having a bad day. It just, on a couple of occasions, has led to more conversation than just saying, good, good, good. How are you? Good. How are you? Good. How are you? Good. Just to, you know, break up the monotony of their day, bring a smile to their face, especially if the person in front was giving them grief about having to open the quarter roll. I don't know if you ever tried to open one of those wraps of quarters, but like you try to bang it on the counter and it doesn't go, and you swing a little harder and then the quarters are like exploding all over the place. So just an easy way that we can be a little different. Or if you see somebody and you buy their coffee, if you see a police officer, or just whoever, somebody that looks like they're down, what's a coffee cost, $2? Let's say, put it on mine and I'll pay for it. You never know what that kind of thing could do for somebody else. So my question for you today, what can you do to make an impact on the world? Not ginormous, but what little thing can you do that will make an impact on the world? And just make sure you're putting emphasis on the walk with your Savior. So Ralph Waldo Emerson said, life is a journey, not a destination. And on this one I liked, life's journey is not to arrive at the grave safely in a well-preserved body, but rather to skid in sideways, totally worn out, shouting, wow, what a ride. It's just a different way of thinking about your the life that you've lived. Not that you do have to do things crazy, but when you're fully trusting God, I feel like a lot of times He's going to blow your mind. And even if your life didn't seem crazy, wow, what a ride it was. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for meeting us here this morning. God, I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for your Scriptures. God, I thank you for listening to our prayers, that our prayers are powerful, that prayers can change the world, that you want to use us to be different, that you want to use us to make an impact. God, I just pray for boldness for us collectively as a congregation, but also us as individuals, that when we go out into the world, people will know there's something different about us. People will see you shining through us and will want to know what we have that they don't. God, I just pray for opportunities to share with people that we come in contact with at our places of employment, at the supermarket, at convenience store, just the random times we meet with people that we never see again. I just pray for your Spirit to just be flowing out of us, Jesus. In your name, amen. Is there a song?
It was Jesus' divine power that God was talking about, gives us the ability to live the life He's called us to. A very familiar hymn, excuse me, and our hymn book is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Well, I'd like to sing maybe a less known version, number 601. I mean, well, more powerful rendition. 601, we'll sing all four verses. Darlene's going to accompany us. Please stand together as we sing.
It's now time for prayer and share. Any prayer requests or praises that you have this morning?
This is Darla. In light of the school shootings that occurred this week and prior, speaking from inside the school walls, it is an awful feeling to see students come in every day scared, not knowing how the day is going to go, if we're going to experience that or not. Thankfully, we have been blessed that we have not suffered any of that, even though we did have a threat at our high school this week. But just continue to pray for our schools, our students, staff, throughout the coming weeks, that we as staff can be a comfort to the students that are scared.
This is Phil. would request prayer for Pastor Bill Hoke. He's the pastor of Peace UCC. For those of you who may have been to the Lenten service on Wednesday, he was speaking, and you maybe noticed it was kind of an unusual service. He seemed a little off. It went really short, and learned later that somewhere in there I don't know if it was before that or after that, he had a seizure, and he also he went to the emergency room and does have a brain tumor of some type. So pray for Pastor Bill Hoke and their church. And I would just also want to say, let you know that Bethany has made it to Hungary, so she's there serving, and we would appreciate prayer for her, and it seems to be going well.
And we shouldn't just pray for our pastors when they have health challenges, but if I am correct about this, I believe Phil and Kelly and Travis and Carolyn will be going to Spruce Lake for part of this coming week for a pastor's retreat. So let's pray for them that it will be a time of rest, a time of spiritual renewal and regeneration, and continue to pray for our leadership.
I sent out an email to the guys that would have played softball, but I thought about it. There might be a few that I didn't send it to, like Todd or anybody else. There is a prison ministry softball thing that you can put a team in, or just individuals can go and you can join another team. It's in May. If you have any other if you have any interest and want any information about it, just let me know, and I will send you information about it. I don't know if we're going or not, or if anybody's going. If you would have any interest, just let me know, and we'll make something happen.
This is Lena Brown. We've been talking about passing on the faith in Sunday school, and we've been talking about life's journey. In northeast Kenya, a place where there's been a lot of violence, this past week in a primary school, three teachers were killed, three Christian teachers. It's an area where teachers have not wanted to go because they know it's not been safe, but these Christians said, yes, we will do it. But Al-Shabaab broke into their home at 1 a.m. and killed all three. Pray for the school. Pray for the families of these teachers. One way of passing on the faith, I guess. And a little closer home, our granddaughter Alexis, as of last night and this morning, although I couldn't contact her this morning, she's in the hospital getting antibiotics for some kind of infection, and I don't know more yet. But pray for her and for Scott, please.
Quizzing tonight is at Calvary Monument at 6:30, if anybody needs anything to do.
This is Karen Souter. Hayden will have another court hearing in March, so it's just a normal review hearing. So if you want to pray for the judges and the caseworkers and everybody involved in that, that would be great. And I'm not sure if we followed up on Randy's lung issues, but he did get a definite diagnosis of sarcoidosis, and this week we met with the doctor, and he will be starting on prednisone kind of indefinitely at this point in time. They will just be monitoring that, seeing if that helps clear up the lung issues. So prayers would be appreciated for that as well. Thank you.
All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us. God, I thank you for being with us. Thank you for sending your Son to the earth. thank you that he died and rose again and took our sins and made a way to you for us. God, we just pray this morning for the schools in our land, and you know, schools around the world, and God, just the shootings and the spirit of fear with some of the students. We just pray for safety in the schools, and God, we also think of the teachers at the school in Kenya, the witness that they had and still have, and we just pray for that school. God, we pray for the teachers that will go there. And God, we stop and think of Bill Hoke at Peace UCC, and God, we pray for the church as they support him, and we just pray for healing for Pastor Bill, and that you would just be working in his life and use this season to strengthen his faith. And we think about Bethany and just pray your blessing on her time in Hungary as she serves there, and God, just give her opportunities to share your love with the people that she comes in contact with. We think of the pastor's retreat that's coming up. Pray for Phil and Kelly and Travis and Carolyn and the rest of those that will be there. God, just pray for a renewal and this time to stop and take some undivided time with you and with their spouses. And God, we pray for the softball prison ministry, and God, pray for your blessing on it. God, I just pray that it would have a great impact on the people there and also the people that are outside of the prison that are going in to witness to them. And pray for Alexis and her time in the hospital. God, I just pray for wisdom for the doctors, nurses, and for Alexis and Scott, that you would just be with them, God, showing them how near you are to them. Lord, I just pray that you would use this to bring honor and glory to yourself. We pray for quizzing tonight. God, we just thank you for that opportunity of memorizing scripture and just having that firmly planted in the mind of our young people. God, I pray that they would not be nervous, that they would remember what they've studied, and that above all, they would increase their faith in you. We pray for Hayden and his upcoming court hearing. Pray for wisdom for Randy and Karen and for the judges and the legal field there. And we pray for your will, Jesus. Thank you for Hayden and for putting him in Karen and Randy's family. And we pray for Randy, his battle with the lung problem. And God, I just pray that this, the diagnosis and the treatment would be beneficial and would work. And God, we know that you are the great physician, and there's nothing that's out of your control. God, we thank you for always walking with us. In Jesus' name, amen. For benediction, I just want to reread our theme verse, 2 Peter. One. We'll do 3 and 4. So if you want to stand. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Amen. Go in peace.